biggest stories in sports and entertainment. Sports Radio 610 style. In the Loop presents What's Poppin'.
What's popping on In the Loop? Well, according to 832 on the text line, they said, I thought this was the drive with all the hating going on.
Hate.
Yeah. Let's just not bring up any more movies, and then, you know, I won't be just won't be hating as
the
much.
SpongeBob SquarePants movie.
Oh, my goodness.
Who would waste their time? What's popping? Luis Garcia makes his return today for the Houston Astros. 110 first pitch. He's going up against our dear old friend Kikuchi for the Angels.
Coming up here.
Astros are trying to split the series instead of losing the series. What are your expectations for Luis Garcia? He has not pitched in the big leagues in 28 months. What do you think we can reasonably expect from Garcia today against the Angels here this afternoon?
I mean, again, temper expectations here.
Yeah.
You have to. I know it's maybe a cliched answer, but, you know, I think if he gives you five innings of, you know, decent work, you know, doesn't get lit up in terms of giving up runs, maybe gives up a few hits, then you're happy with that. A couple strikeouts, you know. But as long as it's not, you know, he gives up seven runs in three innings, something like that, then I think you're happy.
I think five innings would be great.
Yeah, I think if he can give you five decent innings, yeah.
We'll see. I'm not expecting. It's kind of like McCullers. I said before the start of the season, anything you get from Lance McCullers this year is just gravy. Don't expect anything from him. He hadn't pitched in 2.5 years, you know. And so similar here. Luis Garcia hasn't pitched in about 2.5 years. Anything you get from him this year, it's just the cherry on top. I wouldn't expect anything from him. As long as he gets through five, doesn't get shelled today. Like, even if he gives up three runs in five innings, but kind of looks the part, has a few strikeouts, stuff looks okay, then it's like, all right, that's a good debut after missing almost 2.5 years in the big leagues.
I mean, baseball is tough to not do it for over 2 years and come right. It's not like getting on a basketball court where a lot of times guys can come back and they kind of just resume as, you know, as they were a lot of times. Baseball, you got to kind of, that's why guys do, you know, their minor league dates to try to ramp up to get ready. But even then, when you get back, it's tough to just come right back in and start killing it with baseball.
Yeah.
Especially as a pitcher. And it's tough.
Garcia's done a big minor league ramp up. He did nine rehab starts.
Yeah,
I can't think of an example. I also said this. I mean, the McCullers conversation was very similar, and I was saying this at the time. Like, I can't think of any pitcher who missed back-to-back years and then came back and had the same career pitching-wise. Liam Hendricks has tried to do it. It hasn't worked out as a recent, another current example. The only other one was Mike Hampton around 2000. I think he missed 2 years. And I think that was after his time in Houston. I got to look this up. But Mike Hampton is the one guy, and even he was, I think he only lasted like another year or two in the big leagues.
I've heard that name in a long time.
Yeah, Mike Hampton.
Man.
I'm looking it up here. Yeah, he missed 2 years, and then, he didn't pitch well. He came back and had a 5 ERA the next 2 years, including 2009 with the Astros at the age of 36.
Man.
So, yeah, anyways. I can't think of an example of a pitcher missing 2 years, coming back, and just picking up where he left off.
Yeah, and baseball is that sport where, I mean, I think most people would agree that baseball is the toughest sport. As far as, like, the major sports in this country, baseball is the toughest to get out there and actually be really productive. Now, imagine missing almost 2.5 years. Well, you said, 28 months. So almost 2.5 years.
Yeah.
And coming back. Temper expectations.
For sure.
Now, if he comes out and looks great, then, hey, that's a bonus.
Yeah.
But don't expect that.
Velocity's been down. They changed his arm slot, kind of like McCullers, to put less pressure on that arm. And so that's brought down the velocity, also kind of like McCullers. So as you watch him today, if you do watch him or you see the highlights, right, velocity's been even further down, like low 90s, around 91. We'll see what he has against the Angels. Astros lineup is out. Pena leading off at short. Yordan batting second in left field. Right. Altuve hitting third. DHing. Correa is your cleanup hitter and manning the hot corner. Christian Walker batting fifth, playing first base. Yiner is behind the plate and hitting sixth. Urias batting seventh, playing second. Cam Smith batting eighth and playing right field. And then Dubon rounding out the lineup in center field. That's the starting nine, so nothing too big there that stands out. Pretty typical lineup as they try to get the bats going.
Nothing out of the ordinary there.
No. and try to get the offense going. Didn't score yesterday, so. And Kikuchi today, you know, he's faced them already this year, pitched decent, and he's having a pretty good year, so.
I think most of us just expect them to get it on track as far as the hitting goes, especially with having Yordan back, although he has a lot of these teams aren't really pitching to him so far since he's been back. He's not seeing much to hit, I should say, in terms of
drawing a lot of walks.
But you just got to think at some point this offense is going to turn it back on.
I think so. I was going back and I responded to Ocho on the text line earlier.
Ocho.
I agree with Ocho that they do have a bad approach, this team. They've seen the fewest pitches of any lineup, any team in the league this year after doing that last year. And they said they were going to be more patient this year. And they started off April a little more patient. But no, they're not. They're a bunch of free swingers. And it's not a great approach. But with that said, again, entering August, they were 12th in the league in OPS as a lineup. So this offense has been productive. Let's not be prisoners of the moment. It was a terrible month of August, even though they added Correa and Yordan just came back. But the larger sample size has been more successful than the more recent smaller sample size for this lineup. I expect them to get it going.
I mean, you just don't want this slump to continue for too long.
No, you can't afford to.
Because we are getting closer and closer to the postseason.
Yeah, 979 says the Astros have scored 14 runs in the last seven games. I expect a poor offensive output today.
That's crazy. 14 runs in seven. That is crazy.
Yeah, brutal. So Luis Garcia makes his debut this afternoon. We'll still be on the air when he takes the mound. So we'll be able to see in real time and bring it to you how he looks right off the bat. But it's a big return, another big return after what you got this weekend from Javier and Arrigetti already for the Astros. Now we throw Garcia into the mix and trying to make this rotation deeper. From his debut to another, Bill Belichick.
Uh-oh, here we go.
Making his UNC debut tonight. First game as a college football head coach. You looking forward to it? You going to be locked into the game tonight watching UNC?
Yeah, I'll be getting some work done later as well, one of my other gigs, but I'll have it on. I'll be tuning in a little bit. I just want to see what his team is going to do. I just want to see what they're going to do. I pretty much know what his demeanor is going to be on the sideline because we've seen it for, 30 some odd, actually longer than that. But I'm interested to see what happens in this first game. I really am.
Yeah. UNC has like a whole, obviously anytime a new coach comes in, it's a whole new roster, whole new staff. Yeah. TCU is bringing back more than half of their starters, including their quarterback. So we'll see. It's not an easy matchup for the Tar Heels tonight.
Question.
Yep.
I forget her name, but is the girlfriend on the field, on the sideline at some point in this game?
Ooh, I think she'll definitely be there. I think she'll be on camera.
She'll be
camera.
There. She'll be on camera, but will she be on the field on the sideline at some point in this game? Maybe they're winning late. She comes down last couple minutes. Like, do you think she's on the field at some point? I think she is.
So is it going to be like a Taylor Swift thing? Like every time
it's going to you know what? It might be. It might be.
Maybe.
Is this game on ESPN? Or?
Yes, it's on.
It is.
It's on ESPN.
Then they will definitely find her in the box.
Yeah.
As a wherever college, she's at, they're going to find her.
As a college football guy, I love college football. Yeah. It's already
aficionado.
It's already like an interesting matchup because that's TCU, UNC, it's very different.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
As the chaotic person in me, Bill Belichick.
Man. Ooh. Hey. I think most football fans in general are intrigued and interested to see how this is going to play out for him.
For sure. But do you think people are going to tune in to root for him or root against him in this whole scenario?
I think a lot of people root against him.
That's a good question, though.
I think they'll root against him.
I think most people root against him.
Unless you're a Patriots fan. Other than that, I think you're probably going to root against him.
I think it's similar to Deion Sanders. I think Deion has a lot more fans. But I think a lot of people tuned in to watch Deion to see if he was going to fail or if it would be a disaster. And I think it's similar, but even more so with Belichick, where I think more people are going to watch UNC this year just to see if it is going to blow up and be a disaster.
You know, you make a great point, by the way, because a few years ago, guess who Deion debuted against?
Yeah, they TCU. Killed him, right? They beat TCU as a big underdog.
TCU was ranked.
Yeah, which was a
they
joke.
Were. Yeah.
It was after a joke. They finished the year 4-8.
Yeah. TCU. Yeah, and then I don't know why they were ranked that high to begin with because they lost a lot of their starters or graduated.
They lost everyone.
Yeah, the thing is, though, you can't take it away from Deion that he beat their ranked team to begin his, on the road.
Grain of salt.
To begin his college career.
Grain of salt.
Yeah.
Hating again.
Speaking of college football, Lee Corso made his final appearance on Saturday for College Game Day. Record ratings. They said 5.1 million people watched like the ending, the send-off,
that last segment, yeah,
which is a record for College Game Day. Honestly, I have to admit, I didn't tune in. I haven't even seen the video. I haven't seen anything from it online. I do like Lee Corso, so this is not me hating. I just I was busy, and it's not. It's just it's not something that's gotten me to the TV.
Yeah.
But I don't. Did you see it?
No.
Yeah, you didn't see it either. Yeah.
I did not.
You better well know I saw it.
What were your thoughts?
It was very. It was very emotional. I don't know why. Yeah. I was like, no one
shed a tear.
No, it's just like, dang, this guy though has been a staple on people's televisions in the fall before college, you know, football starts that Saturday.
Yeah.
And fun fact, all the teams he picked went perfect. All the teams that he played for and coached for went perfect.
Yeah, how about that?
In fact, he was the only person on the panel to pick Florida State to beat Alabama. And guess what? Florida State won.
Yeah, but his logic was just because that's where he went, right? Isn't that his alma mater?
I think
I think he went to Florida State. Was it Lee Corso? Who was it? Somebody went to, they were like, are they the same age? Him and Burt Reynolds? Is Burt Reynolds younger? Somebody went with, they were like roommates with Burt Reynolds.
Well, yeah, Florida State. Lee Corso.
Florida State.
Makes sense.
Yeah, so I mean, that's why he's picking them. But I will say, Lee Corso, for the headgear picks his whole career, he was correct about 67% of the time.
That ain't bad.
I feel like that's really good. He's not picking against the spread, but still, they're picking like the biggest game of the weekend, so you would imagine it's typically a toss-up.
Oh, yeah.
To pick the winner for college football 67% of the time over however many years he was doing that, 30-plus years maybe?
And Lee Corso is 90 years old.
Dang.
Goodness gracious.
That's pretty impressive, though, that he picked. He did have so much. I saw the clip last week. He was the only guy that picked Vince Young in Texas in that Rose Bowl against USC 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Props to him. So, he had success picking those games over his career. I will say, if you want to call this hating, whatever, I do think it's a few years past due. I was always worried that he was going to say something that was going to ruin
his legacy?
Yeah, kind of like Gil Brandt, if you remember, who has passed away, unfortunately. But he was on NFL radio until like he was 90, and he said something that ended his radio career. And it's like, ooh, that was a bad look.
And especially in the climate we have now.
Yeah, I think it was something racial that Gil Brandt said. And
that gets you off real fast now.
And if you've watched Lee Corso the last couple of years, like he didn't really seem to be all with it. It was almost felt like bad, like mean that they were even putting him out there.
Coming up, going right up to the line sometimes. Yeah,
you know, so I was like, oh boy, like I don't want this to end poorly for Lee. Like let him,
and you know, a lot of times,
ride off on the white horse.
When people get older, especially that old, they just don't care what they say, even if they're broadcasting.
Yeah,
they don't care what they say.
Yeah.
If it hurts your feelings, so what?
Yeah.
So those things happen.
I'm glad we had a good ending for Lee Corso's College Game Day career. Last thing real quick. Northwestern didn't let Tulane wear uniforms to pay tribute to those affected by Hurricane Katrina for the, let's say, 20-year anniversary. Anniversary feels like a weird term to use. Lame. Northwestern was the road team anyways. The game was being played.
Wait, so they didn't want them to
they
wear...
They didn't want them to wear all... They had these all-white uniforms. Yeah. And Northwestern, because the road team wears white, I guess, Northwestern's like, no, we don't want to make that adjustment.
Man, that's whack.
Seriously.
That's whack.
Some things are bigger
than football. Why does it matter?
And then Tulane stomped them 23-3. So
well, good. That.
Yeah. Stupid Northwestern.
Yeah.
And talk about, you know, highfalutin, you know, pinky out, good academic school.
Definitely.
Northwestern. It's those Chicago. Nerds up there. Chicago. And I say that with knowing my uncle works for Northwestern. Good. I'm glad they got curb stomped Saturday.
Curb stomped.
Yeah. Well deserved. Hey, that's some of what's popping around here. When we come back, The Athletic put out a list of the 25 most intriguing players and storylines entering the NFL season. Did the Texans make the list? And who would you say is the most intriguing Texan for you this season? You can always text the show 713-572-4610. We'll talk about it next in The Loop.